thankful to be here today and be a part of this service and to be with my brothers and sisters. And I was actually able to spend time last night with my brother talking and enjoying our time together. One of the things that I appreciate is the love that he has for his brothers and sisters as well. And it's interesting because grown to know last night that we're pretty much cut from the same cloth. We've experienced very similar things in our lives and our upbringings. And at the same time, it's we were worlds apart, but the Lord brings his people together. It's for a reason, it's for a purpose, and it's because of the love, I believe, that he has for each and every one of us, how he brings his people together to be able to hear and to learn and to know of him and to share experiences. And so with that, I'm excited to be able to introduce my brother Jose, and I pray that his message would apply to each and every one of you in your lives some way or another. So I give you our brother Jose Galvan.
All right, we're in business. Thank you guys for being here today and to come and hear the word. The message that God has put in my heart this morning. And yeah, as my brother said, we were able to spend some time up there yesterday, out in the desert, in the woods, sweating, it was hot. We got covered with mud, which it was like fun, acting like two kids playing the mud with our bikes. It was nice. And but like you say, we were able to share some background in our lives, and it's really interesting how is the we are here standing, because for the way we were living our lives, it's just a miracle that we are here, and it's even better that that we are part of this family, and the way we were acting or behavior in our lives, they perhaps, and I'm pretty sure God was not content with us. He still had a plan for us, and here we are, from different families, from different countries, and God is awesome. He's up there just looking to whom he will choose to serve, to administer to his flock, and that's what we are here for. To provide that service, as God has chosen us to do, that we have that commitment, we make that commitment to be His servants and your servants. That perhaps we might be able to make a difference in people's life as God has made it in us, in all of us, by sending His Son to pay for our sins in the cross, and that means a lot, and there's a lot of something that a lot of people don't understand, and then just keep living life like taking it for granted that they're gonna have tomorrow. It's coming tomorrow, and they already have plans for tomorrow. But if you remember one of the scriptures that says, why you make plans for tomorrow, because you don't know if you're gonna live through the night, and perhaps God will call you home, and then so you don't get to do or perform or accomplish those plans that you have for tomorrow, because tomorrow it might not come. And so here we are. This is our duty. my wife and my daughter are not here today, and because they're watching the kids now. It's not one, there's two, and so she was afraid to have two kids with her. So, she decided to stay home and watch me over the live streaming. So I hope you're watching. So you see my sermon here. This Jesus is coming soon. You know, like I said, how many people knows that? You know, it's been saying forever, for years and years, and he hasn't come yet. But you know, what if he comes today? Or what if he comes tomorrow? What if he comes tonight? Are you prepared for him? You know, are you prepared to receive him? There's a lot to say and to talk about that. Brother Adam, just so that I have only 18 slides, and I'm like, how do you know I have 18 slides? Is there right there? I don't pay attention to the small letters there. So it's only 18 slides, and perhaps it won't take me long. It might be a quick sermon. But as I was thinking about that, and the Book of Mormon, and the Book of Alma, if you want to open your Book of Alma, Book of Mormon, the Book of Alma, chapter 19, and then 42. I'm going to read this scripture that everybody knows this. You are very familiar with this. It says, now, concerning the stay of the soul between the death and the resurrection, behold, it has been made known to me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they have departed from the mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to God, who give eternal life, or who give them life, I'm sorry. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those which is righteousness are received to the state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they shall rest from all the troubles and from all the care and sorrows. How many people knows that? How many people have the understanding of what happened after death, after you die? And right here, I think there's one scripture in, I think it's Ephesians, but right here it explains it so simple. This is what's going to happen. So people think that death is the end, is nothing else after that, is finished, you have done what you have done, and that's it. But, you know, we read in Revelations chapter 22 that it says that we are going to be with Christ and his kingdom and God's kingdom, where also explains that we're going to be able to see things like we see now. Right, because it talks about kingdom, about mansions, about walls, about houses. It talks about horses and all those things. And for sure, I don't know exactly how it's going to be. It talks about rivers, about trees, and all those things. It almost sounds like it's going to be like Earth. But even that, you know, a lot of people don't have that understanding. And so this chapter right here, it makes it pretty clear what is going to happen after you die. And then if I continue on 45 and say, then shall all come to pass that the spirits of the wicked, yet which are evil, for behold, they have no part, no portion of the spirit of the Lord, for behold, they choose evil works rather than good. Therefore, the spirits of the devil there enter into them and take possession of their house. And they shall be cast out in the outer darkness. There shall be the weeping and wailing and the gnashing of teeth. So there's two places that we are looking for, paradise and the outer darkness. We have a choice to make here as we still alive. as we're still breathing, we have a choice to make. And Jesus is not delaying, as we all know. He is not delaying because it says in his script and in his word that he is giving us an opportunity to repent, to repent. He does not want to lose any of that of us because we are his children. He loves so much each of us. We are so worthy to him. We are priceless to him. How much do you worth? You know, he paid a price of death in the cross for you. So that just gives you an idea how much you are worthy to him. Right? And so don't you think that I'm going to do just what I want to do because anyway, he's not coming yet, or I can repent maybe next week or maybe next year. I'm going to wait until finish my school and then I'm going to party hard and then I repent and then I come to him. You know, it's all those things that go through your mind. But really, it's just no time. It can happen any minute. So I hope what I have to say today or what I have here to show you, it makes a little bit of sense. In 1 Peter 4:7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Be sober. Be ready. Take this acknowledge, you know, be prepared because it's at hand. It's here. It's ready. It's anytime. It can happen anytime. This is what it means. That's the way I see it. And, you know, Jesus many times said it to his disciples, like when he was talking to the two sisters of what was his name, Lazarus. You know, "I am the way. Do you believe that your brother will rise again?" You know, he is the way, he is the life, he is the resurrection. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We were just watching the movie Moses. And how is it when they, this is the movie, when they get to the ocean and the Moses depart the ocean for the Israelites to go through it. And how is it that God intervenes when they Pharaoh was coming to kill them. And you know, Moses being someone who was so humble, who found so many excuses that he didn't want to do those things that God told him to do. And God even got mad at him. But you know what? He found someone that who would speak for him, which was his brother Aaron. And so God has given us an opportunity for us to do the same thing. You know, I a lot of the times I complain myself. I'm a very complaining person. I complain so much that my wife gets so mad at me. But God has given me this, that I might serve, that I might administer to someone up there, that I may make a difference. And that's what it keeps me going. That's what it keeps me going. That I'm not the best person up there. I'm not the best person. And I sometimes compare to those who I hear that speak so well, and I'm like, where did they get all that understanding? How are they able to speak the way they do? And I have trouble myself. First of all, you know, I just want to say that I'm here to do my best. And God always walks me out. He always helps me out. Just like he did with Moses. He said, "Don't worry. I call your brother to speak for you. He will speak for you. You'll be God like him, God to him, you'll be God to you. He will help you. Don't worry. I got your back. I got your back." And so with that, we move to the next slide. In Revelation 3:11, it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold thou fast which thou hast, that not men take thy crown." Okay, let me read this again. Behold, I come quickly, and hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. What you know and what we have, you know, there will be a lot of temptations out there. They will try to guide you, to take you to another strange ways. You know, we were riding our bikes yesterday, and we went through some another trail that I've been there once, but I didn't remember. So I asked my brother if we would try that trail. And as we were talking and making a decision, Brother Gary had a meal by eating a mosquito. He was making all these weird faces. And I asked him, what's wrong? And he's like, I just eat a mosquito. It didn't taste too good, looks like. But I'm like, okay, so to be this the way to go. Okay, but we took that way, and we got covered in mud. We ran into big puddles of water. We almost fall. Afterwards, it was my turn. I eat a mosquito, and it tastes horrible. I'm like, I wish you could have told me. But, you know, those are the things that happen when you are having fun, laughing, and breathing hard, and here we go to a swarm of mosquitoes, and you just have a full mouth. It's just not. But God has shown us the way. Christ has told us that He is the way. I am the way. So whatever you know, whatever we have learned, we have to keep it in our hearts and minds strongly, not to let this enemy to try to bring us down and make us feel unworthy. What we have, what we know, keep it and don't let anyone take it for you. And that is how we're going to earn this crown that the scriptures talk about. That if you make it to His kingdom, you will receive a crown. 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every man according as his works shall be. Brother was talking about that this morning. Forgot Jared. And, you know, a lot of people do trust in those works. You think that by doing good works, you'll be inherent eternal life. But they do work because it says that we will be judged by our works when we are standing in front of the white throne. Basically, be standing in front of Christ. He will bring all those, which is a collection of those things that we did in our life. And by those things, we're going to be judged. He can decide where you're going to go, to my right or to my left. Like I just read in the Book of Mormon. It's a choice that we have to make as we still alive. And it's pretty serious. 2 Peter 3:10, it says, but the day of the Lord will come as thief in the night, and that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works they are therein shall be burned up. What I like about this verse is that it says that the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. You know, this morning I got home, it was actually last night, it was dark, it was raining, and it was lightning. It was a pretty good show up there. I hope you guys got to enjoy that yesterday. And I put my stuff away. I was covered in mud, and I had two bags. In one bag, I had my wallet and my stuff that I, my watch and everything. And so this morning, I was trying to look for my wallet, and I couldn't find my bag. And first of all, I didn't know where I put my wallet. You know, it's just like my purse. I have my life in that wallet. If I lose it, I don't know what I will do. And so I was going crazy, and I didn't know where was my wallet or my bag. And so I didn't think anything else but, I forgot it in the truck outside. Somebody came in, snatched it, and walked away. And I start looking into my ring. I don't see anything. And so I was thinking about people, they just walking up there, and just luckily for them, they run into my bag and pick it up, and there's my wallet. I was feeling so bad. My heart was beating pretty fast, but I learned my lesson. Actually, I never learned it. I keep losing my wallet and the house. And I'm always had this issue. But my wife is like, you better take care of that and make sure that you always put in the same place so you know that it isn't there. But things happen, right? Thieves, they come when you least inspect it. That's just what it is. It's like they watching you. It's like they just see they waiting for you to fall asleep so they can just go and do their thing. Listen, that's how you see it. That's how I see it. How can I didn't see them coming? And they took my stuff. You never know when the thief is going to come to your house. And so he told us, be aware. Be aware. Because I'm going to be coming the last time that you don't know when. In Thessalonians, for yourselves know perfectly that day of the Lord so coming as a thief in the night. He repeatedly says through the scriptures. Repeatedly. It's not just one and one book. He is mentioning it in a few ways, in quite a few books, and coming quickly. Be ready. Be ready. I am the way. So you, wherever I go, you be with me. We continue on in Acts. When they, therefore, Acts 1:6-7, when they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, this is his disciples, wilt thou at this time restore against the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. God is in control. He will decide when it's time. And now it's not for us to know. It's for us to be ready, to continue in prayer, to continue and humbly to continue ministering those who are in need. All those things, we want to continue to do what we learn in the scripture, what God has put in our hearts to do for him, because we are his workers, we are his children, we are his ambassadors. We have to do those things that we hear and see every Sunday we get here, or every time you open your box. It's God talking to you. That relationship that we have with him, we have to keep it strong so that we may be ready. But for us, it's to spread it. It's to spread it. You know, the other thing is that he will not come into his word is preached in the whole world, right? That's what it says. And then he will come. But by now we have seen all the signs and things they talk about in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a long chapter, but it lets you know what to look for. And we have seen it. So his coming is soon. Let's just put it that way. His coming is very soon. The way it's going, the way people are acting, the way the world is acting, is coming soon. It's coming soon. And you know, sometimes when I'm having a hard time, I'm like, you know, Lord Jesus, just come now. Because sometimes you just go through really hard time and you just want to give up and throw the towel. But that's not what we're here for. Because he has given us the spirit of power. And we have to have that encouraged in ourselves that we're not alone. In Exodus 19:3-5, it says, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thou shalt say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle wings and brought you out myself. Did you see what I did? Did you saw my wonders, my power? Did you see all those things? He was walking with them as they were in the desert. And you know, I think it would be amazing if we were able to see something like that, something just a little bit about what the Israelites saw as he was walking, as God was walking with them. Can you imagine? And he's like, look what I'm able to do. And you still, you know, not believing me. You still complaining to me. And you're still doing those things that doesn't please me. Look what I dare to the Egyptians. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then you should be a peculiar treasure and to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. We are his treasure. We are peculiar people. You know, God has chosen us as people. They are many shall be called, I don't know what peculiar people is, but it's like something that is so different. The people were able to see that you're not like that, like them. Peculiar, I really don't know what the definition is of peculiar, but I mean, the way I see it is that we are so different because we are his. We are, they behave different from the whole world. That's what I mean. But we are treasures to him. So he sees us something that are very valuable. So he cares for you and I. And 1 Peter 2:8-12, it says, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble of the world, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show for the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Show the praises, show you joy, show the who you are, who you work for, who you worship. Show all those things to all those to the people that surround you, all the marvel things that we are able to acknowledge as miracles that we have received in our lives. You know, people think that there's no miracles now, but I just said in my beginning, I'm here, my brother is here. God keep us in his care. And so that's who we are, and we're supposed to show all those praises. They are God, which in time past were not people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, you as a stranger and pilgrims abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that where they speak against you as evildoers, you may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the days of the visitation. You know, this is all has to do with our daily life. We are surrounded by all these people. I tell you what, that when I hear words that I don't want to hear, or I'm not really interested, I just walk away, or I just kind of throw a little laugh and I'm vanish. And that's me, and that's letting them know, I don't like your conversation, so I see you later. And that's how they know, you know, there's been a few people this week that like, hey, are you a minister in your church? And I'm like, who told you that? So somebody told me, like, yeah, yes, I am. I can't deny it. I can say, no, I'm not. And this isn't work. And so why did they ask me? Perhaps there might be more questions in the back. So yes, I am. So that's when they see that you are peculiar people. A person, I have a comment here, which is a little bit about the peculiar people. It's a person regarded as strange because of their usual appearance and behavior. And that's who we are. You know, Peter teaches that we must have faith and live in holiness. He teaches that as Christians, are choosing generation. Christians are choosing generation, called to show all those wonders, all those marvels, like it says right here, and it's 2:9. So that's who we are, brothers and sisters. You know, I love that word, and I keep it in my mind because Brother Bob Hedrick, he gave a sermon about this, about peculiar people, and I really enjoy it. And that was perhaps maybe even before I came become a follower of Christ. And so God worked in my life slowly. And here we are. So how do we're going to do, what do we have to do to believe in Christ? What do we have to do? Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man coming to the Father but by me. That is solid. There is no other way that we can come to Christ. There's no other way, only by him. To the Jews, this was a blasphemy, and that's why he was stoned, even killed on the cross, because he calls himself Son of God, called himself the Messiah, called God his Father. And that's why even the Jews killed him. He was, he suffered on the cross for no reason, because they didn't know. If they would understand, like he told them, my saying, you know, even Moses talked about me from the beginning. But obviously, you guys don't know that, because all they want to do and have, it was gain. And we see that in these days too. There are only some scriptures, there is a lot of scriptures you're not allowed to say, so you don't make people leave, because you basket money will go down. And they don't want that. They want to bring more people. They want to just preach what they want to hear, because all they care is wages. But we all know what is our wages. You know, our wages is not money here. So he was took to Pontius Pilate and caused him of making God his Father. We are following the way. Who is the way? Christ is the way. I wrote down that, write down this, and sometimes I don't put my punctuation. So a lot of times when I read it myself, I'm like, what am I reading here? But Christ is the way, right? Christ is the way. But it will not make any sense if we don't read this one. In John 14, 1-5, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I will have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's very important right there. I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, you there ye may be also. And where that I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas saying to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? Goodness gracious. Sorry about that. Have you ever received all those random link calls? That's one of them. Messages. Hey, I'm like, who's hey? But anyway, we'll continue on. So, you know, if you remember, I mean, Jesus said, hey, Thomas, I've been with you all this time. What do you mean you don't know the way? If I tell you I'm the way, I'm the way. So, in other words, you know the way, you know me. And how can we know you if we don't read you, him? We don't read his word. And how can the world will know him and we don't tell them? So hopefully out of those couple people that asked me this week that if I was a minister, they'll come back and ask me all the questions. I'll be ready. I'll be doing my best and to guide them in what they wanted to say. The other day I was eating my soup in the cafeteria, my lunch, and this guy, and he saw me praying over my food, and he asked me, are you going to pray for my soup too? I'm like, yes, of course. That's who we are, brothers and sisters. We are peculiar people. And it makes you feel so good when somebody wants to know the love of God. He wants to know who's Christ. But there's a lot of people up there that comes and be like against asking you questions like in the Book of Mormon, Amulek, the lawyers asking him questions, not in a good way, but in the contrary way, trying to confuse, trying to make him say something confused that they may get him. And that's how it is right now. A lot, you know, you want to know about Christ, let's be humble. I'm going to tell you what I know, and then you just let me know. But, you know, there's a lot of people up there, they have contentions against the Word of God. And they're really, really opinionated. They have their own opinions, and they just speak themselves. So why wouldn't you speak yourself also? It's just a word. It's like a word that we have. We fight, and they fight. They fight back. It's something that only, you know, Christ, if you remember, says, you know, God has chosen you already. He knows who is going to follow and who's not. He has chosen his children already. Many are chosen, but only a few will be answered. It's in the house that scripture says, come to me, all who are tired. I choose this scripture because, you know, it says right here in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Only him and through him we are able to be saved. We are able to make it to his kingdom. He is our mediator. He is in between. The other day, our brother Aaron showed a picture, a triangle, the three fathers, I mean, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Christ is like a bridge for us. It's like a bridge. You know, God and sin and Christ. We are in the side of the sin. But how are we gonna, you know, because sin is what separates you from Christ, from our God. But having a mediator, a lawyer, someone who fights for you, you'll be able to go across and be part of that kingdom. So it says right here, it's mediator between God and man. You know, a lot of people right now, they're worshiping all the things, hoping that that's the way to God. And it's not it. You know, you can worship a lot of idols, which is like, it can be anything. Idols can be anything. And then perhaps you think that once you have all that, you're okay, you don't need anything else, but it's just an idol. It's nothing, it's just an idol. And that's what it says, you know. So do you remember when Christ was hanging in the cross? We're going to get to it. Before I say something else, we're going to read in Matthew 11:28-36. Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly a heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We are so carried too much about the things of the world that we are so heavy. But really, it doesn't have to be like that. You know, that's one when Christ says, "Come to me, and I will make things light for you." It's not as hard as you think. And that can be applied into our daily life. Those things that brings you down, you know, all these problems and sicknesses, all those things, just bring it to Him. Because we are just passing through. We are like immigrants, like aliens, He said. We just passing through. And this is now where we are going to be with Him. This earth is gonna vanish. This earth is not gonna be standing forever. And a lot of people up there, they think other way, but that's just not how we see it. Our kingdom is not of this earth. Our kingdom is of heaven with Christ and God and you guys. That's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And who is not afraid of death? Yes, but remember that we live, we die in Christ, we live in Christ. The mediator, it was on Moses, it was like a mediator to them, to the Israelites too. Because God was speaking to Moses, and through Moses, all the Israelites were saved. So that's another example that this went through my mind. But in this case, Christ is our mediator. And my next slide here, all we need is Christ. In Hebrews 10:19-21 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy is by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. This is very important. When He was hanging on the cross, and when He gave up His spirit, we all know that the veil rent. So ever since, by His blood, it was the last sacrifice, as they used to give sacrifice of incense, sacrifice of burning for people's sin. But people turn around and keep doing the same thing. And that is why, you know, Christ came. And that was the last thing that He could do, that God can do, by sending His Son to die for you and I. So after that, it's giving you a choice. It's giving you a choice. But the good thing is that you don't have to go through anyone else, because that veil that was there preventing you from go across to the other side, to the Holy of Holiness, you don't have to make an appointment or anything. You can just go and pray from wherever, from whenever, wherever you are. You just come to Christ in a humble way, kneel, and just pray to Him and just talk to Him as a friend talks to a friend. In Hebrews 4:16, it says, let us therefore come boldly. Oh, I'm sorry, I just read it. So to obtain mercy and to find the grace that we need. You know, here is we're talking of God's presence. The way that we had in the beginning, which is with Adam, he lost it. So we had to find another way. God had to find another way, actually, because Adam messed up. Well, that was one way. But the other way, it was Christ. It was Jesus who came and to be sacrificed for ourselves. He said, I am the way. And when did Jesus die on the cross? In Mark 15:38, it says, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. I heard that this veil, it was like 3 inches or 4 inches thick. And it's just ripped all the way down. That's given us the freedom of ourselves to walk in and talk to God personally. That's the way I see it. And this picture right here, it says a little bit right there, Christ being behind the veil. That is our way that we communicate to Him. In Psalms 51:11-12, cast not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That is my concern. And I always pray, you know, we are sinners. We are up there all the time. And my concern is that, please, God, I don't want you to take your spirit from me. I want it to be always like a fire on me, you know. And we all do things that they might quench the fire. We're like in danger of that to happen. So we have to be careful and try to do the best that we're not going to cause our God to be angry with us. Because it says, his spirit does not dwell in unholy temples. And so that makes me think about it, that he can take it away. And that is my biggest concern. So it means that I fear him. And we should all fear him. And Ether, 11:41, it says, "And the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sins, but thou shalt not sin anymore." See, after we have been saved, you can't go back to your old life. You can't fall back to what you used to do, to what you used to like. Sin anymore. You can't sin anymore. For you should remember that my spirit will not always strive with men. Wherefore, if you will sin until you are full ripped, you should be cut off from the presence of the Lord. There it is. So, don't you think that because you have been baptized and you've been saved already, now it's saved, but you are on the way, that's it. You know, the Book of Romans says that's just the beginning. We're going to run into a lot of problems, a lot of things that they're going to try to make us fall, you know, a lot of obstacles that they're going to send you different ways. That's not it. We're going to have to be strong in our beliefs and continue walking in that faith and with Christ always in front of us. That's the way I see it in my humble way, in my humble understanding. That's the way I can put it. Christ always in front of you. You know, this guy, it brings my attention because he didn't have to go to the pool. And we're going to read it here in John 5:14. It says, "Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, and lest a worse thing come into thee." Sin no more. How many times he said, "Sin no more"? He's trying to tell us, you know, once you know you have been saved, don't you think that that's it? And you don't need me anymore, or you don't need all these things, you know, that we have to wait, watch our steps every day. Sin no more. You know, it's another word, and another scripture says, you know, when the house is clean and there's no more evil, there's no more evil or I forgot the word. But, you got to make sure that you don't fall back, because if it was only one demon and you, it's going to be more and it'll be worse if you fall back. You know, just like it says, don't be like the dog that falls back and go back and eat his stuff again. You don't want to do that. You don't want to be like a dog. Sin no more. So we have to keep that in mind. Sin no more. We can't sin no more. I mean, once you have accept Christ and you've been baptized in his name, you are a new creation. We are a new creation. We are like, what did he say? We like an angel, speak like with the tongue of angels. We are different person. We are a peculiar person. In John 8:10-11, say, "When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Where are those that are accusers? Had no man condemned thee?" And she said, No man, Lord." And she said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." That's another one right there. Sin no more. Jesus, for that reason, told us that we should not do, but we just don't listen as we go on, as we growing up. You know, he told us that this nation do, but we don't listen. the forgiving sin is there's a lot of the heart safe with that. And it, a sin is it's like a blasphemy. Should be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is another sin that is cannot be forgiven. So sin no more. You can, we are sinners. We sin every day. But the one sin that we have to be aware is that you can never deny the Holy Ghost. You can deny, you can sin against Christ or say something against him, but that we forgiven. But the sin that can be unforgiven is the Holy Ghost. Don't speak against the Holy Ghost. That's the unforgiven sin. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost shall be not forgiven. Neither in this world, neither in the world to come. So that's pretty serious. Sin no more. That is something we have to put in our heart and mind. Always. And my last slide, this is my last slide. I think I'm going to just barely make it because my throat is getting really dry. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man will come. Therefore, be ye ready. So, Christ is coming soon? Yes, I believe that. And our work is to prepare ourselves and to prepare those who surround us. And to prepare those who have not yet making that decision to follow Christ. And I strongly I ask you to consider this. That, you know, that don't wait and don't, because Christ is going to be soon when you less think he will be here. And so that's my message for today. I hope you got something out of it. And I thank you for your attention.